Have you ever stopped to consider how many times someone has asked you to pray for them? If you're like I am, that happens with some regularity. Sometimes it seems to be a rather casual request, almost an afterthought. You are with a person and they start to leave and they turn and almost in an offhanded way say, pray for me. And you answer, I'll do it. At other times it is a request that comes from the intensity of a need. There is a deep personal need, and this person is asking you to pray for them and to join them in praying in faith that God will intervene in the affairs of their lives. Well, this morning we have another request to pray. The Christian community throughout the United States, of which we are a part, is being challenged to join on a national 40 days of prayer. That prayer time is to begin this Friday and continue through November the 3rd, the day before our national elections. The Christian community in the United States is being asked to join together to pray for our nation, to pray for conviction and confession of sins, to pray for cleansing and renewing, to pray for forgiveness and reconciliation, to pray that our nation will turn to God, to pray that God's men and God's women will be elected to serve in public office and to claim God's promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You see, there are so many problems and needs become woven into the very fabric of our lives. And we're called on to pray. In the bulletin this morning, you find a brochure, and it gives you information about the National 40 Days of Prayer. It also tells you what Central Presbyterian Church will be doing to participate during these 40 days. Let me ask you to take this brochure home, put it in a prominent place, and let it be a reminder to you every day during these 40 days that you will pray for our nation. In light of that, I would like to read two passages of Scripture. The first is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the second in the Gospel of Mark. First of all, the Gospel of Matthew, the 17th chapter, begin reading with the 14th verse. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Then in the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter, shall begin reading with the 12th verse. The next day after they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but figs, because it was not nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Then in the 20th verse, we pick up the story. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You know, both of these stories in the scripture has to do with Jesus talking about prayer. And both of them have been placed in the context of moving a mountain. Now, I'm not at all certain whether Jesus had in mind a physical mountain or not. I have no doubt that if he wanted a physical mountain moved, it would be moved. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never been faced with the need of having a physical mountain moved in my life. But I do know that there are things in my life. I sense that there are some things in Central Presbyterian Church. I know there are some things in our nation that are as large as a mountain and that they need to be moved. Whatever that thing is that stands before us as a mountain in our path, we believe that God has come to move that mountain. See, God is in the mountain moving business. And I believe whatever the need, that the supernatural power of God is available to move that mountain. He is ready and he is able. Listen to what he said. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. In light of that, I want to suggest to you the kind of praying that will move a mountain. The first point I want to make is this. Prayer that moves a mountain is the prayer of faith. Now, Jesus said that on two occasions. Mark recorded one of them. We read it a few moments ago. Jesus and his disciples were about to enter Jerusalem, and they saw this fig tree and leaf, and Jesus went over to get some fruit. When he got there, it had no fruit on it at all. And Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you anymore forever. The next morning as the disciples passed that spot, they were absolutely amazed to see that the fig tree had dried up from the roots. And Jesus responded to their amazement. Have faith in God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, move and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. The other incident is in Matthew's gospel, where this father brought his epileptic son to Jesus, his disciples, and asked them to help. And these disciples did everything they knew. Nothing happened, and the boy was no better. And then the father saw Jesus coming. He ran and fell at his feet and pleaded for help. I brought my son to your disciples, the distraught father cried, and they could not cure him. Will you help him? Well, Jesus turned to that boy, commanded the evil spirit to come out, and instantly he was healed. Later on, the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Do you really believe that God can intervene in the affairs of your life? Do you really believe that God can intervene in the affairs of Central Presbyterian Church? Do you really believe that God can intervene in the affairs of our nation and accomplish His purpose? He can, but it will only happen in the context of faith. You see, what God is looking for is men and women who will believe Him, who will trust Him, who will go out on a limb for Him as they come to share with Him the needs and the requests and the concerns that are ours. He is looking for men and women who are willing to believe that He will intervene in the affairs of our lives and He will remove that mountain that threatens to destroy us. Are you willing to be that person? The truth of the matter is that we can pray for in faith only for as much as we believe that God will do. How much do you believe that God will do in your life? Pray for it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The second point I want to make is this. Prayer that moves a mountain is a prayer that focuses on God and not on the problem. You see, sometimes we get so caught up in the problem that is pressing in upon us, we forget all about God. And when all we can focus on is the problem and the need, that problem and that need will overwhelm us and it will paralyze us. We see a beautiful example of this in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel. He received word one day that the enemy was coming. In fact, that enemy was three kings who had joined forces, and they were descending on Jerusalem with the announced intentions of wiping Israel out. And Jehoshaphat knew very well that they had the ability to do it, and Israel would never be able to stand against them. But then Jehoshaphat knew what to do. He went into the temple and he spread this matter before the Lord and he prayed. I want you to listen to his prayer. Oh Lord, look at this great enemy that is coming against us. How strong and powerful they are. And we are so weak we cannot stand up to them. Oh Lord, we are afraid that they are going to overwhelm us and defeat us. What are we to do? Is that the way he prayed? You know very well he did not. I want you to listen to the way he really prayed. Oh Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. Nothing can stand against you. You see, as he came to pray, he forgot all about the enemy. He focused his attentions on the Lord. And the scripture tells us that the next day, under the instructions of God, he went to meet the enemy and he put his choir in the front ranks and they sang their way to victory. Let me ask you, when you come to pray, what is the burden of your heart? Is the burden of your heart the problem that is bearing down on you? Or is it the Lord? You see, you and I need to refocus our attentions so that in the midst of our mountain, we see the Lord. We see Him high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. We see Him King of kings and Lord of lords. We see Him ruling and reigning over the and in control of the circumstances of our lives. And when we can learn to pray so we focus on Him and not that mountain, we will find ourselves singing our way into victory. The third point I want to make is this. The prayer that moves mountains is the prayer that is a persistent prayer. You know, sometimes we get so excited about praying. We believe that God's going to intervene in our affairs and He is going to control the circumstances of our lives and He is going to overcome in our country and we make a strong commitment to pray. For 2 or 3 days or a week, we pray faithfully. But as the days wear on, our commitment to pray begins to lessen. We get busy in other things. We forget. And we don't pray. You know, we need to learn the persistency that Jacob learned. Jacob was returning home after he'd been away for 20 years. And as he neared his home country, the first word he received was that his brother Esau was coming to meet him, and he had an army of 400 men. I want to tell you that news struck fear in Jacob's heart. You see, 20 years earlier, he had tricked his father Isaac, and he had robbed his brother Esau out of his inheritance. And when Esau learned what he had done, he vowed he'd kill him. And now after 20 years, Jacob's coming home, and the first thing he hears is Esau is on the way. Well, he divided all of his family and put them in different locations. And the night before he was to meet Esau, he went across the brook Jabbok, and he spent the night in prayer. In fact, the scripture says it was so intense that he wrestled with an angel. Man, they wrestled all night long. And as the dawn began to break, the angel said, "Let me go." And Jacob held on with all of his might. He said, "I will not let you go until you do what I ask." And God blessed Jacob. And his reunion with Esau was joyful and peaceful. That's the kind of praying we need to learn. Prayer that holds on to God. Prayer that bombards heaven. Prayer that keeps on asking until our asking becomes praising. There's one more thing that needs to be said. Prayer that will move a mountain is prayer that is mixed with fasting. That's what Jesus said in relationship to the epileptic boy. After he cast the evil spirit out, and the disciples came and said, why couldn't we do that? Jesus says, because of your little faith. This kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Have you ever noticed how many times prayer and fasting has moved God? You know, that was Jehoshaphat. When he heard that enemy was coming, the first thing he did was to call a fast in all of Israel. And while the nation fasted, he went into the temple and he spread this matter before the Lord. And the Lord spoke, do not be afraid. The battle is not yours. It's mine. I think of Jesus when he went into the wilderness for that temptation experience. The scripture says he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. He fasted for 40 days. And then Satan came to tempt him, and Jesus overcame every temptation. And then we are told that he left the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began his public ministry. I think of that young church in Acts. They had come together to worship. We are told that they were praying and fasting. It was then that the Holy Spirit spoke. And he said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And the gospel was spread to the Gentile world. That includes you and me today. Prayer and fasting has always preceded a mighty move of God. And as we come today to pray for ourselves and our church, but more specifically for our nation, we need to include with our times of prayer seasons of fasting. You see, fasting is important for us because fasting involves the discipline of our lives, and it helps us to bring our lives under God's control. Fasting is important for us because fasting reminds us that our devotion to the Lord is far more important than eating and sleeping. Fasting is important for us because fasting quickens in our spirit the desire to be the man that God created us to be so that he can use us the way that he wants to use us. See, the call that is going out to the Christian community today is to be a praying community. There are many people who believe that we are in serious trouble in our nation, and only by the mighty hand of God intervening in the affairs of this nation will we ever survive. I am convinced if that is a fact, that the time God will intervene is when the people of God come together to pray. And if you're going to join us in this prayer adventure, let me encourage you to be people who have faith that God will intervene. Focus your attention on God and not on the problems. Do not give up in praying. As the Apostle Paul said to us, we ought to pray and faint not. He didn't mean to lose consciousness. He means to give up because the answer does not come immediately. And as we come to pray, we ought to spend some time in fasting. There's a mountain out there. That mountain needs to be moved. And the Lord Jesus said it can be moved if my people will pray. If you have faith, just as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Are you game to join us as people of prayer? Let's move that mountain.